I don't think the Lord's done yet. So I want to encourage you, even while Will's going to minister, if the Lord's busy in your heart, just allow the Lord to continue working. I want to pray for Will. God, we just thank you for this gift to us as your church, Lord. We just pray, Lord, we receive him this morning, God. And we pray, God, that this will really capture your heart this morning and it will move us forward significantly, Holy Spirit. We just pray. We thank you for Will, for a lifetime of walking with you faithfully and seeing you move. And we pray for impartation into us this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you just for this time in worship as well now, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks, Hannes. Yeah, when Hannes said, I don't think the Lord's finished, the Lord's never finished, believe me. Yeah, it's ongoing, ongoing, today, this evening, tomorrow. So just know that the Lord meant what he said when he said, the work I've begun in you, I'm going to bring to completion. It's always great to know that the Lord wants us to get from here, for instance, to the pulpit. And he has something that's called the effectual will. He wants to take us straight there. But because of who we are, he said, I'm going to get you there, whether you like it or not. But we go this way and bang, and then we go this way and bang, and then we go this way and bang. But we'll eventually get you. But we'll get bruised and battered. And we think, well, thank God he got me through this. And the Lord says, you got there, you know. You banged yourself up getting there. You know. He says, now commit your way to me so that I can direct your path. A lot less banging. And so, yeah, honest, I agree. The work he has begun, he hasn't given up on us yet. Father, I want to ask this morning that there'd be something of an impregnation, again, of your word. We're told in John's gospel, or rather in his first epistle, that your word is sperma, that it's living sperm coming from our God. Strange word that's used there, Father, but I know, because you've said your word is life and that our God is not impotent, and that your word coming into us as we receive your word and open ourselves to your word and want your word to take root in us, that we will bear fruit, knowing that the root will determine the fruit. We want you to be the root. We also want, Father, to make your presence a reality, and we know that we cannot experience your kingdom unless we make Jesus king. And when we say our God reigns, we know, Lord, that it's a lot more than getting together and singing and worshiping and embracing, as important as that is. But it's going out of here. And every time we are confronted with something, we would say, yes, sir. Something that the flesh doesn't want to do, we'll say, yes, sir. Help me in this. Yes, Lord. And see your kingdom appear. We are yours, King Jesus. I'll ask this now in Jesus' name. We as God's people say, amen. Yes, as you heard, just got back from Australia. It was great. It was wonderful having Grant with. From Perth, Grant actually went ahead to Adelaide. And then I continued in Perth, met up again with Grant in Adelaide. And the Lord has been doing some wonderful work in both Perth and Adelaide. There's a wonderful move of God there. So we've got two great, healthy base churches now in Australia. We trust in God for more. And when we say base churches, to work from Perth into Fiji, Perth into Cambodia. Now also they're talking about Adelaide into the Philippines. Doors have opened in the Philippines. And we trust in God for these doors to be effectual doors, but also for the Lord to raise up folk, even from amongst us, who will feel a prompting. And so the initial prompting is to go with the team. My first time into Russia, now from having got back from Oz, just going this next weekend to set elders aside in Kimberley, which we really thrilled about. Some of you guys have been working into Kimberley, but also straight after that, back into Russia, where Hannes and Mariska welcomed us the first time into Russia at Moscow airport with a big banner. Welcome to Will and Pam, you know. I thought, oh, this is fantastic, you know. I couldn't speak a word, didn't know what was going on, but Hannes led me, said, no, this is the way. I said, Hannes, can you read Russian? No, no, this is the way. This is, I can read that. This is the way. And lo and behold, he got us to where we were going. I said, well, That's only God, you know. So I want to say we want to trust again for Hannes and Mariska before little Hannesies and little Mariskikis start running around you. And it's a natural process, Hannes, you'll see. Changes your life forever, my pal. But before that actually happens, and we'll be thrilled when it does happen, I really would like to grab them again because of the blessing that they've been. And wherever I have taken them, we couldn't break into Namibia, a little place called Arenos. Then we went to a place between Arenos and another place called Stumprit on a farm. Oh, it was tough. A lot of the older Afrikaners were there. And it was like, I dare you to bless me, you know. I thought, well, dear God, you've got to come through. I had Hannes with. And so I said, Hannes, let's start singing some songs. And so he picked up his guitar and he started off with Wordy Donkey. Wordy Donkey, Wordy Donkey. Hey, and the old folks started singing with him. And I mean, it was fantastic. He just broke through with Wordy Donkey, you know. And of course, we did go into something more spiritual. But sometimes God gives you keys. And into Russia, I believe, Hannes and Mariska will be keys. So I'm joining up with Kala and Naku, who lead the work in Stellenbosch now. I'll be going into St. Petersburg ministering and then going down to Moscow. We are meeting up with Hannes Kala and Naku. With their three children are going in. They're going in for just short of 2 months. They're going to be staying down at another city called Obninsk that we've been working into. And they now are part of 412. They're right in 412 now. Konstantin Kosta and that church and their leadership. But all of a sudden now, something has opened up. Marina, Pavel's wife, who leads the largest Pentecostal church in Moscow. I mean, their facilities, I went in there, it was unbelievable, like going to watch a ballet, you know. I mean, it was unbelievable with the rose gardens around it. In the heart of Moscow, and now they've asked if I could host a participate in a conference they want to host. I said yes, and they said no. They're getting 70 churches together for this conference, and they want me to speak about what we hold as values in 412. I thought this is only God, you know. So God opens doors where he wants to open doors. And I think that's going to be very effectual. I want to ask if you could please just keep that in mind. Russia, you know, where the president, what he loves, you've got big billboards now with Putin riding a massive silverback bear without his shirt on. They love that. So keep that in mind. Ask that the Lord would show the king in a chariot, you know, rather than the president on his silverback bear. Just briefly, see, we've got half an hour before the clock strikes 11, yeah? I want to just share with you what the Lord has been speaking to me about these last few weeks, and it's been developing, and it's attracting God's attention for the right reason. And I know we can attract God's attention for any reason. You don't attract it for the wrong reason. But attracting God's attention for the right reason. I wonder if you could put that passage up, 2 Chronicles. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. Just that part of the verse. Now, this was spoken by the prophet to a king, the king of Judah. His name was Asa. Of course, we all know his son, Jehoshaphat. You know, the great guy that was used by God in such a wonderful way. But Asa, his father, when they had the armies coming from the northeast to attack Judah, and they were building a ramp in a neighboring city to isolate Judah, he went and he sought help from two other neighboring countries to attack. And the Lord said, you acted foolishly in this, and as a result, my attention has gone off you. My favor has gone off you because you refused to come to me, so that I can deliver you from this. And so something's going to happen to you. And what happened was his feet became diseased, and that disease came into his whole body, and eventually he died. Now, the thing that got me was that the Lord is looking, not then, but also now. He's looking through the earth amongst 8 billion people. He's looking for one person. I'm looking for one person here whose heart is solely committed to me, who wants my kingdom to come about in their life more than anything else. I'm looking just for one man or one woman. I'm looking for you, says the Lord. My eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth. And that's a great challenge. And you know, I've seen over the years throughout church history where it's as if men or women have put their hands up. And they said, Lord, use me anywhere, anytime. I'm yours. But I want to say before that can become a reality, there are two things that have to fall into place, which I see came into David's life and came into his mind, came into his heart. And so we find, even though David messed up the way he did, and David messed up, I mean, the end picture is, yes, King David. And he's not my hero. I keep saying it. Joseph's my hero. David? But David was God's hero. He loved David. I said, God, how can you love this man? Here he's standing with another woman, but next to the sepulchre of a dead, illegitimate child, who he had fathered, by the way, with a woman whose husband he had murdered. I mean, geez, a hang of a picture. And yet, this man, because of his heart for God. You see, God's not so interested that you mess up. He's interested if you're willing to get up again. And you will mess up. I promise you that. You will fall short. I promise you that. I fall short. You can be assured of that. But if we stay there, we'll stay there. If we stay there, the devil will want us there. But that man or woman who's willing to stand up again in the grace of God, in the mercy of God. So I've learned something from this. That's what David learned in Psalm 51. And he was able to go on again. And so I find for men and women who slot into the Second Chronicles context, who catch God's attention, they firstly men and women, firstly of the two, they firstly men and women who hold the word of God with high regard. Firstly, they believe the word of God is the word of God. And I want to say the greatest attack today is on the word of God. Now, this is what Andrew was trying to massage into us now at the elders meeting. Because there are issues that are popping up that go contrary to the word of God. And it's not just going to be one specific or another specific. It's going to be broad strokes that the devil's going to bring against the word of God. And so the Lord firstly wants to know, are we going to not only believe but receive his word? And we know that 2 Timothy 3:16 says, I don't know if I gave that particular passage of scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. And it's given for various reasons. But I want to say that we need to embrace it as a whole. And we mustn't go into cut and paste. This is what a lot of folk doing. They're cutting and they're pasting and they're moving. They're even excluding passages totally. The one pastor I was sitting with at a pastor's meeting, he was talking in the context of Mark's Gospel 16. I know there's a bit of discrepancy about in the last days. You know that we'll move in realms of the miraculous and the signs of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you to know that whole passage doesn't apply to us as the church today. I said, oh yeah. And so the other pastors were taking notes because this was quite an influential guy. He's well known in South Africa, actually. I thought, oh, he's just cutting out a whole section of scripture here, you know. And I know that he's a bit of a cessationist. In other words, he believes what happened in the New Testament era doesn't happen today. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the gifts, it's not for today. It was for then, for the authentication of the scriptures. I said, no, it's for today. You know? So I said to him, I just want to ask you, are you getting your source? It's always good to know, where's your source coming from? You know, if it's Google, let's check Google. I need to check out with Mark Davies if Google's right, you know? So we need to check this. Do a little further research. So, but the matter of the situation was, I said, your source, is it coming from this exclusion now of Scripture? Are you basing it on the interpretation coming from the Codex Vaticanus or the Codex Sinaiticus? Or maybe the Textus Receptus, which I know is a little further removed, a little more accommodating. So which of the three are you taking your stand on? He said, I beg your pardon? I said, don't worry about it. Then all the others knew that he was taking his stand on something that he had heard, something that he had read, but not something that he had allowed to be birthed from Scripture. And when it's birthed from Scripture, it gives birth to conviction, not preference. Firstly, men who attract God's attention for the right reason, men and women, or men and women who believe the word to be the word of God. I'm sorry, but the word of God says. No. So I'm sorry, the word of God says. They say, oh, you're a fundamentalist, you know. You're illogically subjective. You know, you're like an ostrich. You're putting your head in the hole and asking people to cover it up. Well, then, no, it's anything but that. You know, I want you to know the word of God is what gives life. The word of God is what gives direction. The word of God is what brings us into a place where we start to see the invisible. And when we see the invisible, believe me, we will do the impossible. But it's the word of God that opens the eyes of our understanding. It's the word of God when we dare to believe that the word is the word. We're going to start to see things that other people don't see. I'm telling you that. And so firstly, we must believe the word to be the word. And with it will come opposition. And with it will come confrontation. And you won't have breakthrough without confrontation, because those two are synonymous. They walk together, they eat together, they sleep together. You want a breakthrough, you've got to break through something. And so Jesus said, those are my men, those are my women. Because to you who overcome, he says to all seven churches in Revelation. So if you're going to overcome and be an overcomer, there must be something to overcome. If you're going to be a person who breaks through, there must be something to break through. But no, the Lord never ever takes you over something or around something. He takes you through it. You're going to go through it. You might come out missing an arm, you know, or a bit of a limp. But the truth of the matter is, you'll come through it. And you'll look back on it and say, Santa Maria, I've come through this with God, you know. And you'll be slightly changed. You'll always be changed. But there'll be something coming through it that'll give birth to conviction. My God reigns. My God reigns. And I want you to know, you will diminish. That's in the purpose of God. The flesh will always diminish so that he can become more. So Paul says, decrease. So that he can increase. How do I decrease? By going through something. By standing on the word, believing on the word. Hannes just shared with me at the outset now about that which Peter Nembhard shared at the conference about throwing out the nets. And then Peter said to him, Lord, all you got to do is give your word. Give the word. You say the word, we'll throw out the nets. And I want you to know, we need to get the word. This is why even with Peter kept saying that. I mean, initially, and even when Jesus came walking towards them on the water, they saw him, they were all terrified. In actual fact, the word of God brings out in the original that they were like blocks. They just stood, totally inactive. And then Peter said to him, if it's you, give me the word, I'll come to you. That was his response. And so Jesus says to Peter, come. And so I want you to know, I'm not agreeing with Bart Bruner and Bultmann, the liberal theologians, that they say Jesus never walked on water. It was like a thing, you know, the boat was moving and he was actually on the land and it looked like he was on the water, you know. So no. Jesus was on the water, but Peter never walked on the water. Peter never walked on water, but he got out the boat. So, well, that's a bit difficult to explain. So now Peter walked on the word. He said, give me the word. Jesus said, come. You see, it's a metaphysical impossibility for men and women to walk on water. I heard the church, first church plant we handed over to folks in Tableview. The pastor came from Pretoria, God bless him. Seriously motivated by zeal. And the first baptismal service, kept fully dressed. He was going to stand on the water and baptize the guy. He got a word. And then, no. You can't walk on water. And of course, he stepped in and he went under. And he baptized to save face the person in his full suit. But I'm saying, what Peter stepped out on was the word. And the word then is the word now. It sustained Peter then. It'll sustain us now. But that was for Peter. Jesus says, come. Unto me, all you that are heavy burden and heavy laden. Come to me. Step on that word. And so men and women who want to move in and press into where God is, they've got to firstly be men and women of the word. When I find people moving away from the word and starting to underplay the word, I say, no, something's going to happen. You're going to become disengaged from the head. So not only must they be people who are of the word, but secondly, they must be people who are focused on eternity. For me, I see that throughout Scripture. Paul brings that out again and again and again and again. Don't grieve as those who have no hope. So all of you know, most of you know, Pammy and I lost our son a few days before his 21st birthday. It was terrible. It was horrific. When we got the news that he had been killed in that accident through that negligent driver, I mean, it was unbelievable. You can't reconcile it to anything. But the Word of God says, I want you to focus now on eternity. The thing that's going to stop you being anesthetized. Oh, well, God, you didn't prove to be out to be the protector that I thought you were. You know, I've been living, as far as I know, quite righteously before you. You know, you have those thoughts, you know. And as Pam says, we always major on the majors and we don't look at lifestyle. Like, I've never been into pennies, petticoats, or power. So I want you to know, I've kept my side, and you didn't keep your side. You know, the minute we speak or think like that, we've lost sight of eternity. I want you to know God is eternal. He's spirit. He's truth. Yes, Jesus took on the form of man, but the Father isn't like, he's not like us. We need to understand that in our hearts. The Father is spirit. But the realm we're going into, which I'll bring out in a moment, is spirit realm. For us to become eternally conscious. Yes, I've got to be focusing on the Word. The Word is living and active. The Word is my source. The Word is my support. The Word is final as to authority. It's infallible as to truth. It's absolute. See, the world wants to underplay, so there are no absolutes. Whatever you think best, like our Montessori schools, just let the child develop on its own. Whatever it thinks best. I think Santa Maria, once again, boy. You know, it's not what the Word of God says. Because there's this little thing in Psalm 51, verse 1, that says, everyone conceived is conceived in sin. And so they're going to be like I was before I met the Lord. Totally narcissistic. Totally egocentric. Totally I want what I want, when and where I want it. I mean, that's my natural nature. But now something's got to change. And so the Word of God changes that when I submit my life to the Word. But along with that, I must focus all my energy and all my intent on eternity. Why? Because Jesus did. It says that he scorned the cross. He despised its shame because he was such a happy fellow all the time. Oh, no. He despised the cross. He scorned the shame because he didn't want to set a bad example for the other 12. Oh, no. He despised the cross and he scorned its shame for what lay beyond eternity. You see, he went through something because of what was waiting for him on the other side. And because, Paul writes to the church, he says, because he subjected himself even to the death of the cross, he being God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, that he could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't. He scorned it and he despised it for what lay beyond. So he was just that very compliant person. No, he wasn't compliant. He was submissive. If he was compliant, he wouldn't have said, Father, not my will, but your will. Oh, here's another will. My will and your will. But the Son, he was compliant. He submitted himself to the will of the Father, that the Father be glorified, that it would carry through into eternity. And I believe when men and women lose sight of eternity, when they lose sight of reward, when they lose sight of the fact that I'm not essentially a human being having a temporary human experience. And sometimes we think that. I'm essentially a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. So everything's on the here and now. Now, I'm not essentially a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. I'm essentially a spirit being having a temporary human experience. I mean, just go and visit a cemetery. Those people never thought they would be 6 foot underground. They never thought that. I'm telling you, my son was so full of life when he came into a bedroom, into a lounge. I mean, it would be... Once he came in, it was electric. He just set the tone. The whole room came alive. There was laughing. He would grab a guitar. It was just unbelievable. You try and explain to me that I could explain to him that in a moment, that was going to cease. That this isn't the realm. It's not the realm. No, the real is the there and then. And so for people to catch God's attention, they must be people who love the word, who submit themselves to the word in the light of eternity. Listen, if eternity is not in place in your heart and mind, you're not going to submit to the will of God. I can assure you of that. You know what? You might do it for a day. You might even do it for a week. If you're very strong-willed, you could even keep it up for a month. I mean, your wife will think you glow in the dark and sleep with the angels until that month has come and gone. You cannot keep it up anymore unless eternity is in place. I'm going to go the distance for eternity. And Jesus, he provokes us in the letter to those seven churches. He says, run the race, fight the fight. Paul's right, I've provoked him, I've enthused him to give you that because I've got your reward in my hand. That's what he keeps saying. Not because you're such jolly fellows. Not because, oh, you belong to Josh Jen. And Josh Jenners are so different. Let me tell you, Josh Jenners are just people. Like any other people. And you detach from the head, you lose sight of eternity, you lose sight of the plot. And you'll say, what the heck? I am half full with this. And you'll get to that. I'm telling you now, it could just be on the day. You ladies know what I mean? Not only on that day, in that month. I'm talking about any day. It just gets too much. When I lose sight of eternity, when you start getting a little dishonoring to your husband. Or husbands, you just get a little unloving to your wife. You lost sight of eternity. Now, for the sake of, I'm going to go through this, for the sake of. And so there's something that God's, he's going to and fro throughout the earth looking for such men and women who stand to the word, embrace the word, believe the word for eternity's sake. So, with this in mind, you know, I often feel prompted to say, to folks sitting here, say the person next to you, but you don't just say it. But say the person next to you, I'm sure Will's speaking about me. That's me. I know I'm not what I used to be, but I also know what I can be. And I'm going to keep pressing in towards that. I want to be the one who catches God's attention. I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. But I want you to know in your own strength, in your own willpower, you will never accomplish it. But as I submit to the word, ask him to fill me with his Holy Spirit. Stay focused on eternity. On eternity. I can get this thing right. So, you know, when I think of coming into the eternal realm, when I think of this thing that changes, yes, salvation's a start when I submit my life to Christ. I went to see the movie, The Matrix, with my son when he was a little fellow. As the story got going, you know, with old Neo and, you know, the truths that were in him and Morpheus. Oh, Morpheus. Jesse, him. He said, I want you to know there's the red pill and the blue pill. Now, if you take the red pill, you'll change forever. Take the blue pill, you can stay as you are. You'll forget this that we've experienced. But if you take the red pill, you're going to go into the real thing, into the matrix. And so the story continued. As it continued, I said to my son, this is the gospel. Because remember, they took him and they zooked him at the back, put him into that tube, and he was baptized in water and in blood. I said, who ever wrote this script, knew the scriptures? And he came. They said it had to be through water and the blood. Oh, this is unbelievable. I said to him, hey, Rod, this is the gospel. I know it's slightly different. You know, it's not like this plug-in and this and the red pill and the blue pill. But the truth is, this is it. And when he came out, he saw everything differently. He processed everything differently. But he had to, through the movie, come to a point of believing. So he believed in, because of the process, now he had to believe. God says, my eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth. I'm looking for men and women who would dare to believe me. Staying focused on eternity. Staying focused on the end result. Keeping on, keeping on. I want to say when King David saw that he wasn't essentially a human being, having this temporary spiritual experience. But you see, when he saw that he was essentially a spirit being, having a temporary human experience. You see, our values change. We hold most things that we hold tight in life. We hold them a lot looser. There are other things that are eternal that we hold a lot faster. We treat them with great value because of their eternal value. But when David saw this, he responded to the purpose of God, saying, I don't only want to use the kingdom's resource, because he said, I'm going to build you a house. I don't want you living in that tent out there in the dust anymore. I'm going to build you a house, a fantastic house. That's the motivation that he had when he saw God in an eternal perspective. But I want to use my personal finance. I want to use my personal resource. I'm not only going to give you my stuff, but I'm also going to give you myself. I want to give you the passion of my heart when I do this for you. And that's why in Acts 13:22. Oh, we all know Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, speaking of King Saul, of whom he testified and said, I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. I thought, you know, he caught God's attention. And this little thing, he could have used all the finance. Sometimes I wished our own politicians would have this mindset, you know. So he didn't use the government's money for his own personal, fulfilling of his own personal vision. He said, I want to bring this about firstly out of my own resource. Caught God's attention. Let me tell you, the way you respond to God is the way God's going to respond to you. I'm telling you that. And today, I honor Pam. I honor her all over the world. I honor her. Sometimes I don't do it enough at home. You know, but I honor her. The fact we did the 5 church plants. And every time we did the plant, we drew a line. We took no resource out of the previous one. Bought the land, put the buildings up, built the congregation, had all the finance they needed, handed over to another couple to lead the work. And then I took Pam and our children, and we started again. Drew a line. No finance from there. We drew a line. Yes, I did buy 2 or 3 cars to sell as we got going on this side. But there was pressure that she came under as a mother with the 4 little ones. I mean, Pam used to sew. Pam, all Pam knew was math, science, and German. She couldn't cook and she couldn't sew. I mean, she was one of those laboratory people, you know. And she learned to do, she sews. I mean, she knitted me a jersey, a cable jersey. I mean, hey. Yeah. She cooks. I don't want to go out, and it's the truth, the way she cooks now. But Linda and Byron, to stay in Melkbos, Linda gave her a little book when we got married and said, Pam, stick to the book. Take a pot out the cupboard, this size pot. Yeah, you can ask Pam. Because I got so tired of tomato breedy. I said, Linda, please write a book or something. You know, do something. You know. Now, but Pam, as we went church to church to church to church planting, Pam gave of herself. Had an opportunity in the second church plant. They were going to give us a home if we were willing to stay. Church grew magnificently. We'll give you the home if you're willing to stay. And I just knew this is not of God. The third church plant, a house situation come about. I said to Pam, this is it. So went to the bank, signed the papers through the guy. I mean, in comparison to the cost of the house, oh, there's nothing. That night now, signed the papers that day in the bank. We're lying in bed and Pam says, I don't think this is right. I said, Lord Jesus, please change your mind, you know. The next morning, back in the bank manager's office, I had to pay him to undo the stamps that we did. He said, you know, I've never done this before. I said, oh, no, no, no. But, you know, my wife and I feel, meanwhile, I should have said my wife feels, you know, but my wife and I feel. So there was a continual moving with God. I want to say, when you catch sight of something, the way you respond to God is the way God responds to you. I'm going to say, oh, we were martyrs, you know. Want you? Oh, no, no, God forbid. That's a lot of nonsense, that. I mean, if that's your motivation, you're missing it. Let me tell you, the resource that came through us over the years was marvelous. And the resource comes through a conduit. It comes through a pipe. And we were the resource, the conduit. And the truth of the matter is, as God's resource flows through you, to do all of that, the pipe stays wet. It just stays wet. You know, it's just marvelous. But the heart must be for God because of eternity. Let me tell you, we don't live in much of a house now, but it's been a wonderful family home. I mean, it's stuck out, you know. We just got a leak at the moment. We can't find the blooming leak. So all the taps are switched off in the house. So now we're washing with borehole water. I hate washing with borehole water. Until we can find the leak. But let me tell you, I'm going to invite you to my home when we get there. I'm sure there's going to be a phenomenal home. And I'm going to invite Pam into my home. Because unfortunately, we're not going to live together. I can't even pinch her bum in heaven. because we're going to be different. So I've got to try and work that through in my mind. But she'll have her own home, and I'll have my own home. And I'll invite you. Say, I was in the Milk Boss congregation. I said, man, I've been waiting for you. Come, let me show you what God has prepared for those who love him. Let me tell you, folks, don't lose sight of eternity. You don't give up on God. God hasn't given up on you. And so I just close with this. I've just got to rush ahead, run out of time. But in Psalm 63, verse 1 to 4, I love what David said. Psalm 63, 1 to 4. Oh God, you my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Just what Anna shared now earlier. Maybe we're just not thirsty anymore. John 7, Jesus jumped up. He couldn't take it anymore. We saw that water going, being carried in front of him by the priests on the day of the last day of the great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. And they used to pour water on the altar, and it would run out the east gate and down towards Jericho, down into barren plots. And he saw this being fulfilled prophetically. He looked down the corridors of time. He couldn't contain it. He jumped up and he said, oh, those of you who thirst, come drink of me and I will give you living water. And out of you will gush something that will feed the nations, that will cause, and then we find in Revelation 21, as in the book of Ezekiel, that this river flowed from the center of the throne of God, out of the temple. And wherever it went, there were trees of planting that were food for the nations. It brought salvation through many fish that were in there, and healing and deliverance. And then Jesus said, out of you will gush this river. You're going to become my temple. My throne is going to be in you. I want you to thirst and drink of me and drink of me and let the pressure well up within you. Keeping sight of eternity, staying true to my word. And as you submit to Jesus the King, the kingdom of God will manifest itself. And when it does, everything changes. Everything changes. But you've got to take the red pill. You've got to take the red pill. But Morpheus says, once you take it, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. We tell you, he touches you in your inner spirit. And once you've tasted of the sweetness of the honeycomb, the bitter herbs of the world will never satisfy you again. Never. And that's why, and I close with this verse. And this was the exact opposite to David. Luke 12, if we could just jump up one. Luke 12, verse 16 to 21. Let me just say this, folks. God wants you to prosper. I'm not speaking poverty theology here. God forbid. God wants you to prosper and he wants you to be in good health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John, verse 2. I believe that with all my heart. But it's no use having the things that money can buy if it's at the expense of losing things money can't buy. And this little story that Jesus tells, and he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods to lay up for many years. You've got pension schemes and RA schemes and forex offshore. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. David laid up treasures for himself. Solomon laid up treasures for himself, but they were rich towards God. A man earned 1,000 rand, easy to tithe the 100. Jeez, he suddenly took off in his job, started to earn 10,000 rand. Well, a bit of a struggle, eh? But he tithed his 1,000. Then he earned 100,000. Oh, with prayer and fasting. Oh, it was difficult, but he stayed true. And he gave his 10,000. Santa Maria, the business took off. Net turnover every month, 500,000. went to the pastor. He said, I can't tithe 50,000. He said, I've tried. I'm desperate. Please pray for me that God would help me. He said, I'll do that. He said, Father, please, please let my brother earn 1,000 again. Oh, you know, it's so easy. I mean, it's so easy. When we don't lose sight of eternity. It's not with rust and moth and theft. No, 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 no. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Now, the Father doesn't want 90%. That's yours. He just wants what's his. And in giving him the 10%, I'm saying to him, my confidence is in you. I trust you. That even if I go blind, you will still provide. Even if I lose my physical health, I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon. Hey, that song used to trouble me. Eh? If I lose my eyes, if I lose my feet, if I lose my hands. You listen to the words of that song. I'm in glory, you know. I said, Cat Stevens, I'm not into your song anymore, you know. I don't want to lose anything. But I want you to know God's intent is to keep us through to the end. That we'll go through whatever. Because we're men and women of the word. We want to make Jesus king so the kingdom can appear. Let your kingdom come in me, Lord. Let your will be done in me. And Lord, help me to stay focused like you did for what lay beyond the cross. Because you said in this world we're going to have difficult times. We could even have great loss that could tear our hearts apart. Maybe our children, maybe our loved ones, maybe our partners. Even as I said concerning Tony yesterday, I so wished I could sit with Tony next to that rugby match. I know that he loved his rugby as much as he loved his Louis L'Amour. But you know, there's another day coming. I believe it with all my heart. And I told my son, I've told my three daughters, and Pammy knows it. I'll lose them in a shopping mall. I know, yeah, Pam! Pam! I just go stand on the corner. Nobody even looks at me. Here comes one here, one there, one there. Either that or in the early days I used to just open my wallet and Pam would find me. Not true, not true. Not true, not true. She knew it was empty anyway. But I said to my kids, there's going to be a hang of a crowd around the throne. Got to be real, folks. You know what I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to try and get as close as I can to the right side of the throne. Not the left, the right side of the throne. Listen for my whistle. Hey, here comes my son. Here comes my daughter. Here comes Pam because she's going to come running to me. Because the impossible has become possible. I've become perfect. That's what it says I'm going to be like on that day. Just miracle of miracles. I want to ask you today. Do you love the word? Do you cherish the word? Do you want to live the word? It's not easy. But it says in Christ all things are possible. I want to decrease that you can increase. And the Lord, I want to catch your attention. I want your eye to stop when you see me. See that woman, that man. They're living in the light of eternity. They're counting all things less for the sake of. They're not holding those things that the world holds tight as their security. They're open. Say, Lord, I'll give you what you need, what you want, what's yours. But I want you to know everything else will follow. Just say the word. What a day. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. enter into the joy of your salvation. You were such a success in your business. You were so faithful. You asked me for wisdom and I gave it to you. And you prospered far beyond that which you thought possible. But what caught my attention was you were faithful in that which was mine. You gave me that tenth because you believed that I would return, restore, I would undertake for you in the light of eternity. God's looking for such men and women. Come, let's bow our heads together before the Lord. Maybe you're here today. And I know that the presence of Christ is here today because he says where we gather, even two or three, that Lord, you said you're going to be here in the midst of us. Father, there's so much that needs to change in my life. I react so often when I should respond. But thank you that you're a God of new things. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That was David's heart, that's my heart, and I want that to be your heart. Forget now what lies behind. It's a new day in Christ today. In the light of eternity. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, you know, well, I long to be more eternally minded. I long to get into the Word and allow the Word to get into me, not only so that I can know chapter, verse, and line, but that I can say, Lord, I want to live that out. I want to make you king so that your kingdom can appear. And if you're here this morning and you've never submitted your life to Jesus Christ, and what I mean by this is that you've never said, King Jesus, I want you to take my life. I want you to direct my life. I want you to be king of my life. I want to submit myself to you now. I've had lots of pleasure. And somehow pleasure has always let me down. It's exhausted me. And even this morning I'm feeling tired. And I don't have your peace. But you said that you want to give me your peace above all else. In the midst of everything. And I want to say to you this morning that that's the heart of God for you. God wants to make things new. God wants to give you his peace. God wants to fill you with his word. God wants to secure your heart for eternity. He wants you to believe as you see in the invisible, as you take that red pill, as if it were, by submitting your life by faith to him. As you see in the invisible, you will start with God's help to do what you thought impossible. For Christ in you will be the hope of glory. And if that's you here this morning, you've never made that commitment. And I take nothing for granted, ever. But if you're saying, I want to make that commitment, I'm not going to ask you to the front. Time is gone. But I want to ask if you could just raise your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. You've never made that commitment. Say, well, I want to make that commitment this morning. Is there anybody here? If you can just raise your hand, I want to pray for you now in closing. Anybody here this morning? You've never made that commitment. I know that Anna said there's no visitors this morning, but that doesn't mean anything to me. Maybe you're here and you say, I've never made that commitment. I've never. I want to make that commitment today. Is there somebody before I close? Then I want to ask you as well, as those of you who know the Lord and you love the Lord, but you want to catch God's attention. Say, Lord, to a point, I've been faithful, but I haven't given ecstatically. I haven't given joyfully. I haven't given because of who you are, not what you do. Lord, I want you to fill my heart with a new sense of expectation. Fill my heart with eternity. I'm yours, dear God. Oh, Lord, take me and fill me. Help me not to react. Help me to respond more in the light of eternity. These things that get me so wound up, dear God, help me to see them for what they are. I can identify and nullify and move on, dear God. I want your kingdom to come through me. I want you to be king. I desperately want you to be king of my life, of my resource, of my finance, my family, all that I represent. I'm yours, King Jesus. And if you feel God speaking to you this morning, again, as our heads are bowed, if you just raise your hand, I want to pray for you now. God bless you. Oh, many, many. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, King Jesus. I wonder if we could stand together. Praise God. I could see in the worship, you guys are worship berserkers. That's good. I know that attracts God's attention for another reason as well. But I want to ask you if we could just raise our hands towards the presence of God, towards His glory. Father, as our hands are raised toward you, I now want to ask, Father, oh, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the wonderful ministry, ongoingly so, of the Holy Spirit would keep us, would secure us, would enable us, would enthuse us until you call us to be with you or until you come for us and then forever and ever and ever and ever without end. And we as God's people say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Encourage you. Keep on keeping on for the kingdom's sake. Why not? Thank you, Honest.
Great. Thank you so much, Will. That was amazing. It's wonderful to have you. Great. Guys, we're going to end there. Just while we were speaking on finances, I realized we never sent the boxes around. So can I just ask quickly, Brendan, if we can just have the boxes at the back. If you want to, just for those of you who brought cash and you want to put in, please go for it. But guys, thank you so much. The pantry box is in the front if you feel to give to that as well. But we want to encourage you to run for Jesus. We'll see you guys in the week and then next week Sunday. Bless you. Go for it.